You on in a series of sermons that we've been doing called The Story. Thank you, Paul. I was trying to get there. I was trying to scroll through everything, but you got there before I did, so appreciate it. We've been working on this series of sermons since Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, called My Story. And my story is not about my story. It's about our story. Our story. And I said that, I jokingly gave you guys a story about my granddaughter who says, you know, the highest ever, 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 right? And we talked about the greatest story ever, 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 and that is Jesus' story and his redemption and what he did for us, his causing us to have salvation in Jesus. Those are all wonderful things, and they mean so much, but then in addition, they mean nothing if they're not part of your story. So your story, if it includes Christ, is a story that he is writing. And so we have an opportunity. You and I have an opportunity today to grasp a hold of the greatest story ever written, make it part of our story, and then move forward. Now, I wanted to say that God's doing a new thing. I don't know if you guys felt it. I certainly did. It's been that way. We had just an amazing weekend of time together and praying together and seeing God move in some really neat ways. And then even today, seeing God move in some really neat ways. God is doing a new thing. And here, today I want to talk to you about something that I think is really, really important. You know, years ago, I used to stand up here and I still do. I love telling my story. I have this really cool story about a time when I was 16. I had a dream and I've shared this story multiple times. And the dream that I had for 2 weeks in a row and the same dream every single night. And it grafted and changed my life forever and set me on the course of where I'm at today. And it's an amazing story. And I'll tell you the truth, it was, I think, Passover Sunday. I was sitting at the table of Denny, Melinda, and Melissa, their daughter, and having a conversation and sharing a story. And as I'm sharing the story, I was excited to share the story about what had happened to me because it meant something to me. It was a pretty, I think, a pretty neat story. But as I'm sharing the story, I hear the Lord go, "You don't have any news stories to tell?" And I was like, "Oh, ouch." But it was a good one. Yes, I agree. Thank you, Denny. Thanks for trying to pump up my ego there a little bit. I appreciate it. But the reality of it is that, listen, we all have these stories, and some of us are living on, and here, I want to be very clear. Some of us are living on a story that was written 20, 30, 40 years ago. Some of us have not moved forward after that story. We have lived in that story. That story was a wonderful story. God may have even done something amazing. But then today, we're still living on yesterday's blessing. Miss Tanya and I, during prayer time, Miss Tanya said something that struck me and I was laughing at this. Miss Tanya, by the way, if you haven't ever noticed, has really good sayings oftentimes. And so, oftentimes, especially when she's talking about Pastor Chaz, they're really, really funny, by the way. But but she said when we were praying, she goes, "New level, new devil." Right? When you go to a new level, there's new devils that attack you. And I thought about that for a moment. I'm like, that's so true. And I agreed with her. And I was thinking about that. And then it stuck in my head. And as I'm walking through that week, as we're thinking about that, I'm thinking, yeah, but there's new blessings too. Right? New level, new devil, but there's new blessings to overcome those things that are attacking us. The problem that we fall into often, though, is that we're still living under the power of the stories of the past and not the power of the stories of today. God wants to do a new thing in us and in you today. He doesn't want you to rely on what happened yesterday. He wants you to rely on what you need today, at this very moment. Because there are moments of times, there are things that are going to happen to you and I that we need God to move today. We need to understand exactly what he's doing. Excuse me, today, your story must be told. But your story has to be current too. Because if you're telling an old story, you're living on the old blessings. You're not living on the new things that are happening today. We're going to pause and pray. And we had just a crazy morning this morning that we didn't get an opportunity to pray for our church or service or ministry before our service. And so today, as I'm praying, not only for our service here, we're also going to lift up our friends at First Church of God in Ravenna and Pastor Todd Houston. We'll lift them up and then also pray for our service. So will you bow your heads and pray with me, please? Father, we thank you so much for all that you're doing and all that you have done. We thank you for your Spirit who is alive and well inside of all of us. May we have more, Lord. Lord, we want to pray and first lift up our friends at the First Church of God in Ravenna and Pastor Todd. We pray that you'd be with them, that you'd be with that place, that today could be a day of salvation, that today could be a kingdom growth day at that place because of what you're doing in their midst, Father. Bless them, bless their congregation, bless Pastor Todd, Father, and help them to do your will. And Lord, we pray while on others' own call and do not pass us by here at Passion, we pray for the same thing, that this can be a kingdom growth day for you, Father. But Lord, we also pray that you would open our ears and open our eyes and realize that you are doing a new thing in us, a new thing in our hearts, a new thing in our lives, that we don't have to rely on the old stories, that we can rely on the stories of today, Father. Help us to go to that next level, Father, that you're calling us to see your blessings and to walk in your will and your ways and in your kingdom, Father. Lead us and guide us. I pray that you'd remove any hindrances or stumbling blocks that keep us from understanding and hearing what you'd want to say to us. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd move us, direct us, and guide us in all things. I pray that my words would not be my own, but they would truly be your words, Father, and that you would help us to not only receive what you would have to say to us, but also understand and apply to our lives these things that you're giving to us. We glorify you, we honor you, and we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43. There is a wonderful, all scripture is wonderful, but there's a passage that we're going to read from in Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to be starting in verse 16. But there is this event that's going on, if you will. The Israelites have seen God move in many gracious and wonderful ways. They've seen God do some amazing things in their past. And they've seen him, I mean, just think about it for a moment. These are the very people that saw from the very beginning. You want to go clear back to Abram, who then became Abraham, who saw the father of the nations and all of these things that happened. And then you see them for 600 years in slavery to Egypt. And then you see God miraculously deliver them from Egypt. You see the Red Sea parting, and you see them crossing through, and they make it to the other side, and the waters crush in on the Pharaoh. You can go on and on and on in Scripture, and you can go through all of these events that have happened. God continually delivers them time after time after time. But then we find them in the midst of a new issue. We find them in the midst of a time when they are being overcome by the land around them. And the Lord reminds them exactly what he has done for them. We're going to start in verse 16. And it says, "Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters." What is he doing? He's reminding them exactly what he's already done for them. He's reminding them that I have done these things. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way. What did the Lord do? He made a way for them. Every time they needed a way, the Lord made a way. Every time they needed to go somewhere, he made a way. Every time they needed something, they had manna falling from heaven. If you don't know what that is, that's kind of like the bread we ate today. Right? It was falling from heaven because they were hungry and they needed food. It says, thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters. By the way, the Lord didn't just part the waters of the Red Sea. He parted the waters of the rivers too. Did you know that? There's a wonderful story where God actually dams up the river so that the Israelites can cross over the river because it was a raging river and they needed to stop it. The Lord stops it and they go over. He goes on and says, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they're extinguished, quenched like a wick. Yeah, if you're in the middle of the Red Sea and the Red Sea collapses on you, that's pretty much being quenched, right? Okay, thanks God. You quenched the chariot and the warrior. And then he says this, verse 18. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Now hold up for a moment. If you're part of this and you're hearing Isaiah is giving this prophetic word to the people. And as you're hearing this word, you're saying, wait a minute, God, you just talked about all these wonderful things that you did and how you saved us and all of these things. And he stops right in the middle of this. I stopped in the middle of this, but Isaiah says, remember not the former things. Why would I not want to remember what happened in the past? Why would I not want to remember all the good things that you did to bring me out of those places? Why would I not want to do all of these things? In essence, what the Lord is telling them is stop dwelling on the past. Stop dwelling on what I did in the past. Stop dwelling on what I did years ago, hundreds of years ago in some cases. Dwell on what I'm doing today. Focus on what is today. Isaiah is giving this word to the people, and they're in exile from the Babylonians. What does that mean? That means they're running from the Babylonians. They have been enslaved, they have been conquered, they have been overthrown. God has allowed them to fall at the hands of the Babylonians. They're in the midst of great trouble and issues. This was a lot more than just missing out on a few bills. Let me put it this way, right? This is life and death. This is talking about slavery. This is talking about the future of the country. Are they going to survive? This is exactly what they're asking themselves. They're not asking, how do I get from point A to point B? No, they're asking, will there be an Israelite nation moving forward from here? These are huge questions they're asking. But the Lord tells them not to remember the past. Now, if I am them, you know, I'm sitting there during this time and I'm thinking to myself, I want to remember how God has delivered me. Why? Because I want to use that to propel me forward today to understand all of these things. But what the Lord is saying is that they were dwelling on the things of the past and not looking for a new move of God today. They were so focused on what God had done in the past that they were missing what God was doing today. See, our stories are important and they must be told, but no one likes an old story. We need stories that are... Listen, my wife and I have this ongoing joke, you know, when we go to Netflix and we do the 45-minute scrolling trying to find the movie that we're going to watch, right? You all know what I'm talking about. You do the same exact thing. You spend more time scrolling looking for the movie than you do actually watching a movie. Well, I have this internal clock that somehow says any movie past 1987, 88, something like that, I can't watch. And my wife loves these old-time movies. She wants to watch all of these. And I'm like, oh, here we go again. I'm like, in fact, I have often thought in my head, can we not focus on the things of the past? Let's focus on the new things that the Lord is doing in Netflix. Come on. No, I'm kidding. But we get into this place of focusing on the things of the past. We get into this place of focusing on how the Lord has done these things in the past. Split the Red Sea, provided food in the desert, split the rivers, and did all these things for us. That they're missing out on what they're doing today, what he's doing today. Sometimes to have a new story, guess what you need? A new testimony, a new test. Sometimes to have a new story, God has to put you through something to get to that new story first. No one likes to talk about that because we don't want to go through the test to get to testimony. We don't want to go through the issues to get to the story. But sometimes God brings us to problems in our lives so that we can conquer them and be brought up to a new level and receive new testimonies moving forward. Sometimes we have to walk through those things as much as we'd rather not have to walk through those painful events that cause us to have this new testimony. Sometimes we need to have them. The truth of the matter is the past was never meant to be dwelt in. Good, bad, or indifferent, it was never meant to be dwelt in. It was only meant to propel you moving forward. It was supposed to be the very stepping grounds that allow you to step up and go up to the next level. The past, the things that you do in the past are meant to do the... Well, I'm too old to do this today, but I was going to say step up on the altar, right? But I'm not going to do it because I'll fall flat on my face. That won't look good. No, we don't need a YouTube, we don't need a viral video. But yeah. The past was never meant to be dwelled in. The past is just that, the past. Too often we find people living in the yesterday instead of living in the today. That mean, and when I say that, I mean both good and bad things. Sometimes we allow the things that happened to us in the past, the bad things, to focus our attention on the things today, and we have seen ourselves go awry or go astray because those bad things has caused us to be different today, and we need to overcome not only our past, but we need to see God today in a new way. But sometimes good things happen to us, and I don't know why I made this good side of that bad side. Freudian slip there or anything like that going on. Sometimes the good side, sometimes the good things are also just as bad because we're so focused on the things that happened to us in the past that were good that we're missing out on life today. How many times have you said, "That's not the way I did it back when"? That's not the way we did it when I was your age. That's not the way. Well, guess what? You know, there's a lot of things we didn't do differently when TV wasn't invented, right? Okay, so I'm kidding. That doesn't make the past bad and the current good. What it makes is that it's a different time and a different place. And we need to focus on God moving today instead of God moving yesterday. I love to tell the stories of what God has done in our church over the years, but I oftentimes want to tell the stories of what's happening today, not yesterday. I can tell you stories of people being healed from cancer. I can tell you stories of people needing prayer and just walking right into the church. I can tell you, that's a today story, by the way, but that's a different story for a different time. But I can tell you stories of things that happened in the past are wonderful things. But there's nothing more wonderful than what's happening today. The experiences, the things we learn, the things we get to grasp a hold of today are important for us to grasp a hold of those today. Question for you today is, are you living in yesterday's glory or today's movements? There are a lot of Christians who are trying to do Christian things today in yesterday's glory instead of today's movement. God is a creative God. And what I mean by that is God is moving in different ways today than he's ever moved before. I 2 weeks ago, had a conversation. I was going to lunch, and as I I was going to Guido's in Ravenna, and as I'm meeting my, I was meeting a pastor friend there for lunch, and as I park my truck, I look up, there's three men sitting on the corner holding signs that says, "God saves." And I thought, man, that's pretty interesting. So I walked up to them and I said, "You know what, I just want to thank you for having the boldness to hold these signs and share these things and say these things." I said, "Are you praying for anyone?" And they're like, "Well, no, we're just holding the signs." I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, has God done anything through you guys holding these signs?" "Well, yeah, I'm sure God affected someone's life as they drove by." And I left that thinking, I applaud their boldness, right? They're doing something. That's wonderful. Because there's a lot of Christians that don't do anything. But I have to ask the question, is holding a sign on the street corner that says God saves doing anything in the move of God today? There was a gentleman by the name of, oh, well, I can't say his full name because in college we called him something completely different, but his last name was Bob. I'll just tell you that. He was at Kent State. If you know Bob, you know exactly who I'm talking about. Bob would stand on the corners of camp on the campus and he would scream at you as you drove by. And he would scream the Lord's name and he would tell you that you need to be saved. You need to do all of these things. You need to have all. And every time I walk by, I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't want anyone to know that I'm a Christian because of what Bob is saying. There was a time and a place where street corner evangelism like that worked. And I applaud men and ladies who still do that today, who have the heart and the mind to stand there and do that, because guess what? They're being rejected almost 99.9% of the time. Today, street corner, in fact, I looked it up. Barna actually tracks this. If you didn't know, Barna actually tracks the efficiency of street side evangelism. And Barna says that roughly about 1.5% of the people that they respond with or interact with actually has some type of move or difference of growth in their faith because of that. I say all of this not to put these men and ladies down. I'm not by any means in shape or form trying to do that. But what I'm saying is that today the Lord is doing something new. So what is it that he's doing? Today the Lord is changing the way that we look at things by looking at the relationship. Right? If you walk up to someone in the store and say, you shouldn't be doing that, Danielle. Nope. I don't know. What's your name? First of all, I'd have to introduce myself if I didn't know Danielle, right? But then I would sit there and say, you shouldn't be doing that. Is Danielle going to listen to me when I say that? No. But if I have a relationship with her, if I have spent energy and effort and have a time with her and have these discussions with her, I can change that conversation. The Lord is doing something new, and we have to move in today's movement. We need to move in today's. That doesn't mean that the gospel has changed. See, this is the most wonderful thing. The gospel of Jesus Christ never changes. It's the same today as it was yesterday, as it will be at the end of time, and as it was at the very beginning of the time. The gospel does not change. But the practice and how we reach people does change, because God is moving us forward, and the world around us is advancing. 30, 40 years ago, where's Christy? Christy, you're in here. Math teacher Christy. Principal Christy, sorry, you're no longer a math teacher. I'll give you your honor. I am almost 52 years old, Christy. I gave my life when I was 16. How many years ago was that? Anybody do quick math? I don't want to put Christy on the spot. How many? 36. 36 years ago. Man, I'm old. 36 years ago. When I was 16, 36 years ago, guess what? There was no internet. Well, unless you're Al Gore, and he, of course, was doing something with it, but, and we didn't know about that, but that's beside the story. And today, you know what? Today, we were having this conversation this week, and I was having a conversation with a group of younger pastors than me, and I asked them the question. I said, well, how many of you guys are on Facebook? And they all just started laughing. They're like, Facebook? And they proceeded to call me a boomer. And I'm like, oh. Yeah, they're on Instagram. They're on Insta. That's what it's called. It's Insta. If you're going to say it, you got to say it right? Insta. But the point that I'm trying to make here before I get too far off topic is that, listen, things that are happening today never happened before 30 years ago. And if we're still living on the stories that happened 30 years ago, they're not going to work today. Because today on Instagram, you can win people to Christ. Today on Facebook, you can win people to Christ. They may be a little bit older, but you can win them to Christ still. Yesterday's glory or today's movement. Yesterday's glory is a wonderful thing. It's beautiful, but God is doing something new. Let's continue reading. If you have your Bibles, keep your hand in Isaiah, because we're going to come back to Isaiah, but I want you to flip over to Numbers, verse 11. 1 through 9. When you're there, give me a hearty amen. About 10% of you said amen. So 10% of you there. The rest of you are going to be reading behind me, I guess. That's okay. All right. Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. And the people complained in their hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some outlying parts of the camp. Now, let me explain this because I jumped right in to this story. And this story is about the Israelites. Remember how I said the Israelites, God had done all these amazing things? He does, what did he do for them? Well, he parted the Red Sea. He sends them out. He's promised this land of milk and honey. He's done all these things. And he set them on their way. And as they're going through the way, guess what? They get hungry. So what does the Lord do? He provides manna from heaven that falls on them. Now, Lord, I don't want to go to Giant Eagle twice a week. Right? They let the manna of heaven fall, and this was bread. This was like dew at the night, that when the sun was going down and dew started to be cast on the land, manna would fall from heaven, and they could go out and they could receive it and pick it up and they could eat it. It was the bread of heaven. But they became unhappy with it. They became unpleased with the bread. And so when the Lord heard about this, he became angry, which quite honestly has a right. So verse 2 says, then the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So the name of the place was called Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. Now the rabble that was among them had a strong craving. And the people of Israel also wept and said, oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at. Now the manna was like coriander seed, and its appearance like that of Delim, thank you. The people went about and gathered it and ground it in handmills, or beat it in mortars, and boiled it in pots, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was like the taste of cakes baked with oil. Sounds pretty good to me. When the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell with it. I want you to understand exactly what's going on here. So God is providing for them. God had promised Moses that when he brings them out of Egypt, that he will provide them a land of milk and honey. And on their journey to get there, the Lord is going to provide every step for them. See, when God, I'm going to pause here just for a moment. But when God sends you on a journey, he's going to provide for you on that journey. If that journey means that you have to go through some difficult things, guess what? The Lord is going to provide for you. I can sit up here and I can give you testimonies of the way that the Lord has provided along the journey of where we are going. You may not see it, you may not understand it, you may not even necessarily like the taste of it, but the Lord is going to provide for you. He's going to keep you in, if you keep in Him, He will keep you in Him, and you will walk in that path that you need to be on. And He will provide for you the things that you need. But I want you to understand something before I jump to this next slide. Verse number 5. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing. Hold up. Hold up for just a moment. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost us nothing? Anyone remember what was happening in Egypt before they got delivered by Moses? They were slaves. 600 years they were slaves in Egypt. They were forced to work. They were beat. I mean, if you ever watched the Ten Commandments, just came out a couple weeks ago, because it didn't just come out, but you know what I mean. They replayed it. It's a beautiful picture of what exactly was going on. The Pharaoh beat his people. He bloodied their people. He killed their people because he was using them as slaves. And here they are remembering the past as, oh, we had fish to eat. It was wonderful. Remember the fish? Remember the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic? I would be going, do you remember the lashes you had on your back? Do you remember the death of your friends that were in your neighborhood? Do you remember the times you had to tromp in the mud and build the bricks and do all of the work that the Pharaoh wanted you to do? You forget all of that, but you remember the fish? I guess it goes to show you that the stomach is stronger than the mind. But the past wasn't all good things. The past for the Israelites wasn't always a good thing. They remembered it in a different light. In the midst of all of their trouble, what did they focus on? They didn't focus on the bad things that happened. They focused on the fish and the cucumbers and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Instead of focusing on what God was doing in their midst, they were focusing on what they received. Instead of focusing on the new things that God was doing and how God... There's a reason why Moses is 600 years... I want to drill this into your head. 600 years they were in slavery. But the story they remember is the fish and the leeks and the onions. Why? Because they're complaining about their current events. They were looking back to what was going on in the past and trying to apply the goodness of what God did for them in the past to the today. They weren't focused on what God was doing today. They were focused on what God did in the past. And instead of focusing on the bad things that happened in the past, like we were slaves, they're focused on the things that they ate. The Lord doesn't want us to focus on, listen, your past, as good as the story you might tell it, is not as good as what it seems. Now, listen, I love to tell my stories of the past, but guess what? There are some real painful parts of my past that often don't get told in those stories. I tell the story of how I went on a business trip to California and there a lady at the restaurant gave me a prophetic word, but I leave out the parts of the story that meant that every day of my life was a living hell because I had a boss that was like a slave driver, a pharaoh in Egypt. I leave out that part of the story. Why? Because that doesn't do anything good for that story. I leave out the parts of I worked 8, 9, 10, 12, 14 hours a day. I leave out the parts of I was traveling 3 to 4 weeks out of a month and not getting to see my wife and my kids and be there for my kids' soccer games and volleyball games and baseball games and track meets and all of those things and how I missed all. Why? Because those are not good things. I don't want to remember those things. I want to remember the blessing of God and how he fell in that restaurant through that waitress when she gave me a prophetic word to remind me what happened to me when I was 16 years old. Wonderful story. But I left out a lot of what really happened in the past. Our past isn't as beautiful as we make it to be. Why? Because we don't want to remember the bad things. We want to remember the good things. And so when you find yourself nostalgic and looking back on the past, just remember that your past probably wasn't as good as what you remember it to be. There was issues back then too. And it's time to look forward to what's going on today. Oftentimes when we remember the past days, we forget about all of that trouble, that pain, and the struggle, and all of those things that happened. They were forgetting about the slavery and just remembering the food. So let's move back to Isaiah 43. Switch back over to Isaiah 43. We're going to continue on reading in verse 19. Isaiah is again giving a prophetic word of the Lord. The Lord is giving this to the Israelite people who are again finding themselves in captivity. They're finding themselves being overthrown or overcome by the Babylonians. He tells them, don't worry, don't remember about the things of the past. Remember about the things of the future. And so he says in verse 19, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Do you not see the new thing that the Lord is doing inside of you? The Lord today, right now, in this place, is doing something new in each and every one of you. And you can either perceive it, which means see it, and grasp a hold of it, and enjoy it, and live in it, and relish in it, and grow in it, Or you can cast it aside and say, no, I'd rather live in the past. He reminds them, he says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I myself, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. Why is the Lord doing something new in us today? It's because he doesn't want an old worshiper. He wants a new worshiper who's worshiping in the new things that the Lord's doing new inside of you and giving him praises for what he's doing today, not just what he did yesterday. It's time. See, the truth of the matter is if you're living in the past, you're going to miss out on what's going on today. If you're so focused on what happened yesterday, you're going to miss the opportunities that are right before you today. You're going to miss out on the healings. You're going to miss out on the blessings. You're going to miss out on all of those things that the Lord wants to do inside of us today. The reason why we miss out on those things is because it's easier to reflect than it is to move forward. Let's be very honest with ourselves for a moment. It takes less energy to sit in our comfy little seats or recliner chairs with our feet up, Pastor Chad snoring away, right? Thinking about the things that happened in the past. I know I was in your house. I videotaped you. You didn't know it. I'm kidding. But the truth of the matter is it's much easier to sit and reflect on the things of the past than to get up off of our derriere and move forward and do the things that the Lord wants us to do today. Why? Because the things of today cause us to put ourselves on the edge. It causes us to take that new step of faith where we're going to step out and say, is there going to be a step there when I come down? Those are things that we are afraid of. Those are things that we don't want to do. We'd rather just reflect on what the Lord did yesterday than work on what he's doing today. The problem with this is that if you're an addict or you're dealing with an issue in your life, you can't reflect only on what he's always done in your life. Every day you have to wake up and say, I'm going to fight against that. I'm going to fight against falling to that addiction. I'm going to fight against that gossip tongue. I'm going to fight against lying. I'm going to fight against all those things. I'm going to do what I need to do today because today is a new blessing in him, not yesterday. There was a blessing yesterday, but guess what? That blessing was yesterday. It's old and it's stale, and it was beautiful back then. But today's blessing is the steak. It's the perfect flower. It's the perfect blessing. It's the perfect situation for what needs to be done today. We need to use the past to propel us in today. David Gibson writes in a book that he wrote about nostalgia. It's called The Nostalgialism. Nah, I can't say it. Someone help me out. Nostalgic, but anyway. I'm not going to try it. He writes, wise people who understand how God made us to long for him and for heaven don't look backward when they get nostalgic. They allow the feeling to point forward. They look up to heaven and to home. Listen. Our home is not here. Our home is there. We're here for a brief period of time. Whatever that amount of time is for you, it's a very brief thing. And our job is not just to be happy with what the Lord has done in our life in the past. Our job is to experience the blessings that he has for today. Cast our net as wide as we can. Grab as many people as we can and say, let's go, because we're going up there. And that's where I want to be. I don't want to be here in this old, broken down, decaying world. I want to go somewhere where the streets are gold, the flowers never die, I never thirst, I never have pain, I never have suffering. I'm going there because it's much better than here. You can stay here if you want to. That's your choice. But this world's dying, and where I'm going, it will never die. And it takes a today's move to reach the people today. So my question for you is simply this. Are you focused on today or yesterday? When we focus only on the yesterday move of God, we miss out on what God is doing today. We live in a different time than previous years. Things have radically changed. I don't know if you've noticed that, but things have radically changed. I can sit here and think in my 51, almost 52 years of life, how radically things have changed in those 50 years of my life. Not only in the thing, I mean, listen, there's actually TV and it's colored and there's actually 4K now back when, no, I'm kidding. There was TV back when I was born. But when I started, I love freaking high schoolers out when I go to them and say, you know, when I started high school, we didn't have computers in the classroom. What? I didn't have a computer that I carried around in my hand all day long. Things have radically changed. The only thing that hasn't radically changed is God. But the way that we experience and the way that He moves us today has radically changed. Because it's different than what happened in the past. Today's a new time and a new place. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Weight of Glory, writes, past gifts, however wonderful, were only a taste, a whisper, a window, a trail. The scent of a flower we could have not found. The echo of a tune we have not heard. News from a country we have never yet visited. They were the first fruits promising a harvest, olive branches heralding a new earth, the grapes of Canaan bidding us to look beyond the Jordan of death to the land of our inheritance. Your past, regardless how wonderful it was, the things that the Lord had blessed you in the past with, how wonderful they have been, were never supposed to be the end. They were supposed to be the foretaste of what is to come. They were supposed to be the appetizer, if you will, of what the Lord's going to do. And every day we live is a new course that He's giving to us. Every day is a new opportunity for us to grasp a hold of and say, I want to grasp a hold of the new things that the Lord's doing right now. It's wonderful to look back and to be nostalgic on the past. Listen, I find myself doing that. I love thinking about, I have history. I mean, this lady right here, that lady over there, I have history with my whole entire life. I was there when they were born. That's how old I am. And I love thinking about the times of growing up in our household, Dee. I remember that. I remember spending a night at your house with your son and these two crazy little girls that are no longer little girls anymore. And those were wonderful times. But God is doing something new today. God is wanting to do something new in you. And the question that you have to ask is, stop focusing on yesterday and focus on what He was doing today. Ask the Lord to move. Listen, ask the Lord, move me today. Help me to see what You're doing right now. Let me have the vision of what You're doing today and what You're going to do tomorrow. Because guess what? It's okay to ask God for the future vision as well. We need to not only see what God's doing today, but we need to see what He's going to do tomorrow so that we can be there with Him. It's time, my friends. Our glorious season has not ended. Many theologians often say, the glory of the church has passed. And I hear that, I'm going, that is a lie from the devil. The glories of the church are just beginning. And they will never be completed until we enter into the gates of heaven with Him. The same can be said with you in your heart. It's time that you allow God to do a new thing inside of you. It's time for you to say, I'm going to put away from the things that God did in the past and accept and walk forward from this place on who God wants me to be today. Some of us have to lay down our past because we've been hanging on to a past, good, bad, or indifferent, but we've been hanging on to it, and it's been affecting us today, and we need to cast it off and say, I'm no longer going to live in the past. I'm going to live in the today because that's where God wants me to be. I'm going to be focused on what He wants to do inside of me because it's a new thing that He wants to do. It's a beautiful thing that He wants to do. He's going to take you to the land of milk and honey. He's going to take you to the promised land. He's going to take you to there, that place, but you have to be willing to go new places. Will you stand with me, please? I just want to encourage you today. I want to build you up to say God wants to do a new thing inside of you. I shared this with our leadership team yesterday, Friday night maybe, I don't know when, but this past weekend. And I said to them, I said, the Lord is doing a new thing in Passion Community Church. We reflected on the things that the Lord had done in the past, and I said, those were all wonderful things. They were beautiful things. We have some beautiful stories to tell of what the Lord did back then, but guess what? I don't want those stories any longer. The Lord is doing something new. I want to experience what He's doing today. And it has shifted. The Lord has shifted, not only in this church, but in us as people. But the question is, during that shifting, are you going to be left behind, reflecting on what happened in the past, or are you going to look at that shift and go, let's go. That's not enough, Lord. Thank you for shifting us today. Thank you for shifting us at this very moment. But guess what? I want more. I'm not going to complain about the man. I'm not going to complain about all of those things. I'm going to just ask, Lord, more. I want more. I want to be different. I don't want to be the same pastor that I was 20 years ago. I don't want to be the same Jason that I was 10 years ago. I don't even want to be the same Jason that I was a week ago. I want to be new. I want to be experiencing the gift of God and what He has for me today. And in those new mercies, we will see wonderful things. And as long as I have breath coming in and out of my lungs, I want to look for the new things of God. Not the old, but the new. And so I want to challenge you here today as we prepare to sing this worship song. What I want to challenge you with is if you've been living in the past, set it aside. Cast it out. Remember not the former things, as Isaiah tells the people of Israel, but go forward in something new. Seek the new thing that the Lord wants to do in you. Seek what He wants you to move forward. See, the Lord does not ever want us to stay in the same place. Never. He's always calling us to move forward. Moving forward in our faith, moving forward in our relationship with Him, moving forward in our life. There's always growth in the Lord. And when you stop growing, that's when you're in trouble. Your story doesn't have to be what happened 20 years ago. Your story doesn't have to be what happened 5 years ago. Your story doesn't even have to be what happened a year ago. Your story can be exactly what happened to you today at this very moment. How God shifted inside of you something different, and you're going to experience something new, because that's what the Lord does. He does new things in us. But you have to make that decision. You have to make that choice. You have to say, I want something new. And I'm not going to just stay on the peripheral. I'm not going to stay on the outside. I'm going deeper. I'm going further. I'm going into something new. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your glory. We thank You for Your honor. We thank You for Your praise. We thank You for all of these things that You are, Lord Jesus. And I thank You that You're moving us to a new place. I thank You that You're moving us and You're calling us to something new. And as You said to the Israelites in Isaiah 43, look not, remember not the past, but see that I am doing a new thing. I am doing something new in you. And I want to do something new in all of you. The Lord is crying. I believe He's just crying that out to us right now. And He's saying, all you have to do is let go of your stinking thinking, your stinking past. Let it go. Let go. The Lord did some wonderful things in your life in the past, but it's time to see Him do wonderful things today. And so, Lord, I pray that You would speak to us, that You'd show us, that You would walk us forward in these new things, this new idea. Lord, I believe right now in this place, Holy Spirit, I believe that You are refreshing our minds. You're giving us new vision. You're giving us new jobs. You're giving us new abilities. You're giving us new gifts. You're giving us new callings to go in a different place, a new place, a place that's different than the way it's been in the past, but a place that you're going to move us forward into the future, a place where we can reach out to our community in the way that you have perfectly planned and provided for us to do. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give us willing hearts and minds to walk away from the former things that you have done and see the new thing that you're doing now. Lord, I pray that we would be forgiven of living in the past and accept the future that you have for us here today. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here that's never accepted Jesus Christ before, that's never said, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that they would, as what Romans 10 verse 9 says, confess with their mouth, believe in their hearts, ask for forgiveness of what they have done, their sins, believe that Jesus had died on the cross for them, that they today could have everlasting, eternal life with you. What a beautiful new thing that would be, Father, that you would be doing in someone's heart. So if they're watching at home online or they're here in this place, we ask you, Lord, do that new thing inside of them. If you're here today and you want to join this kingdom of God, you want to be part of that family and do that new thing, it's simply a saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Help me to walk forward. Be my Savior. Be my King. That's it. And then it's a lifelong journey of following Him. Father, I pray also for those that are here in this place that have found themselves stagnant. They're like the pond that doesn't move. They have a little slime, a little mold, a little lily pads. They have the little cattails growing up inside of them. Why? Because the water isn't moving. Lord, I pray right now that a fresh rain of God would wash all of that out and that you would set them a course to a new thing that you're doing inside of them. Lord, forgive them for living in the past glories, but let them walk today in the today blessing that you have for us, this new thing. Guide us, strengthen us. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing, all that you will do, and all that you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As we sing this worship song, these altars are open. We invite you to come forward. If you want us, if you have anything that you need to pray about, listen, we don't care what it is. The Lord doesn't care. What matters is that you are obedient to Him and that you're not afraid to take that step and ask Him to help you overcome those things. Whether it's giving your life to Christ or whether it's something that you've been struggling with, these altars are open and we'd love to have opportunity to pray with you. Let's worship together. The Lord is so good. We don't deserve. I'm often amazed. We don't deserve anything that he does, but he does it anyway. Because he loves us. That includes you being someone new today. That includes you walking in the new blessings that God has done in you and is doing in you and for you. Don't be satisfied with what happened yesterday. Don't be satisfied with what happened last week or last year or 20 years ago. Grab a hold of what he's doing today and be open to seeing it every single day. The Lord has new things for you today. Grasp a hold of those things. Walk in them. Don't let the past hold you back. You are a new creation in Christ. Not an old creation. Our bodies may be old, but guess what? The Lord renews our mind every single day. Lord, we thank you for this day. There's times that you're just, Lord, you're just so good. We thank you so much for what you're doing, Father, in this place. I pray against the reminders of our past. I pray against the devil that tries to say, I am, or I once was this way, or I once said this, or you once did that. Those are things of the past. We don't live in the past, we live in the today, Lord. Let us walk forth from this place, walking in the new mercies that you're given to us. Do it again, Lord, as the song said. And let us every single day wake up in the morning, look to heaven and say, Lord, I want to be new today in you. Lord, what are you going to do new in me today? Because that's where I want to be. Help us, Father. Go to that place every single day where you are at, where your kingdom reigns. We glorify you, we honor you, we praise you, we lift you high and mighty. We thank you so much for all that you have done and all that you are doing. Bless us today. Let us be your hands and feet, Father. Let us go change our community and the world around us because of what you're doing in and through us, Father. Not so we can boast on our own, but so we can boast about you, Father, and how good you are. We glorify you, we honor you, we praise you now in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen and amen. God bless. Have a wonderful week. We hope to see you again next week.